We're holding on Pei Bays, Umud Bays, 14 lines from the bottom, about two-thirds of the way down the wide lines. The Mishnah had mentioned a couple of cases where Kanoi and Poyginboy, and we dealt with at great length yesterday, one of them of Haboy Laramis and the whole story of Zimri and Cosby. So now the Mishnah had mentioned you have another case of an extrajudicial punishment. Namely, we said that there was a case of a Kohen who serves in the Beis Hamikdash. When he's Tomei, where we said, instead of Beis Din punishing him, the young Kohanim would take him out of the Azara and they would beat him up and then bash him over the head with sticks and kill him that way. So, the Gemara says, Bominate of Achabahuna made of Sheshis. So, Rav Achabahuna asks Rav Sheshis, such a person, Kohen Shashimish Petuma, Chayev Misi B'dei Shemayim, or Ein Chayev Misi B'dei Shemayim. We're saying that the other Kohanim would beat him up and kill him. But is he chayev misi b'dei shamayim? Meaning, let's say they didn't get him or not. By the way, we talk about kodesh and we talk about misi b'dei shamayim. What the difference is between them, there's a couple of different understandings among the Mephoshim. Rashi, in a couple of places, explains that it means that kodesh means that not only he dies young, but also his young children die, that also his young children die in his lifetime as well, Rahman al-Islam. As opposed to Misi B'dei Shemayim, only affects him and not his children. And then you have a different explanation that Tosfos brings elsewhere, that no, both of them is only him, not his children. The difference is when he dies. Kores would be before 50, and Misi B'dei Shemayim would be before 60. With that said, though, there are other places where the Gemara implies that Kores is before 60, which is why Rashi has to explain that it means that Kores means something else on top of that, the children as well. There are a few places in connection with Kores where the Torah says, Aririm Yiyu, or Aririm Yemusu, which means that they'll be and they'll die childless, which Rashi explains on Chumash means that if he didn't have children until now, he won't have, and if he did have children, then they'll die. The question is whether that applies across the board to any case of Kares, or is that only in certain specific cases? In any case, so now they ask Rav Sheshis that is such a person chayev misa b'dei shemayim or not? Rav Sheshis answers to Nisuha. Well, let's look at our Mishnah. Koyin Shishimish Batoma. We said that a Koyin who served in the Beis Hamikdash when he's Tomei. His fellow Kohanim don't bring him to Beis Din to get punished over there. Ella, they just do the punishment on their own. The young Kohanim take him outside the Azara, and they smash open his brain with sticks. Now, says Rav Sheshis, it's true it doesn't say Misi B'dei Shemayim in the Mishnah, but consider, says Rav Sheshis, V'yisakudaitach M'chayev B'dei Shemayim, it has to be, therefore, the implication is that he's not Chayev Misi B'dei Shemayim, otherwise, if he was, Lishpakei to Likto B'dei Shemayim, why don't they just leave him alone, let him be punished and killed B'dei Shemayim, and why do they have to take matters into their own hands? So the fact that we're saying that they do seems to imply that, no, there wouldn't be Misi B'dei Shemayim, and therefore, in other words, he would get away scot-free, and therefore the Kohanim don't want that, and therefore they're zealous for Hashem's honor, similar to the Kanoim Poyginboy, and therefore they go and kill him. So the Gemara asks back the Elam. So in other words, Rav Sheshis is saying in short that no, he's not Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim, and if it weren't for the young Kohanim, he would get away with it. So the Gemara asks, Elamai ain't a chayiv. So then what are you telling me then, Rav Sheshis, that he's not chayiv misi b'dei shemayim? Well, then you have to ask, mi ikamidi d'rachmana patre, how do you ever have a case where the Torah patres somebody from misa, v'anan nekum b'niktole, and we're going to go and kill him? Doesn't the fact that we have permission to kill him show that he's chayiv misi b'dei shemayim? Now, the Ran points out, we learned yesterday, at least according to Rashi's understanding of things, we talked about the Yad Ramah had learned that a number of the things that we said that Kanoim Poyginboy are all Midrabanon, but Rashi had learned that they're Halachal Moshe Misinai, so the Ran says, well, in that case, then what do you mean? Halachal Moshe Misinai, then that's that. So it has nothing to do with, whether otherwise you would be Chayiv Misa or not. And he says that fine, even you have Halachal Moshe Misinai, but as far as a Chiyuv Misa, is it logical that there would be a chiyuv misa, that a chiyuv misa is a case where people can actually kill him, and it says l'moshe misinai, and there's not at least some kind of remez in the Torah that the person is chayiv misa at all, or that he shouldn't be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim? So that's the Gemara's question. sure, we can easily say it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that they're able to kill him. But there has to be some kind of remez for the idea that at least he is chayav misa, and therefore we're saying that instead of leaving it up to Hashem to kill him later on when he gets to be 60 years old or whatever, instead we're going to take matters into our own hands now. But doesn't that itself imply, therefore, that he must be chayav misa? Otherwise, how could we do that? So the Gemara says, well, why not? The loy, why not? Or why do you find that so hard to understand? V'hatznan, we learned earlier, mishalok of Ashana, that we had a couple of days ago, and pay Aleph on the days, that a person got Malkus and then got Malkus again for the same thing, based in Machnisin Oysel Kippah. So we said that based in puts him in the Kippah and they give him a bare amount of food and water over there, and then eventually they give him barley to eat and his stomach splits open. So we see, there you go, Rachmana Patre. So the Torah has patred him from Misa, Vanan Kaplinimlai, and yet we're killing him through this Kippah. So we see that because after all, Minat Torah, all he would have gotten without the Halacha Moshe Sinai or the Din Rabbanan to that effect, we would have just kept on giving him Malkus again and again. So we see that he was not Chayv Misa, and yet we cause him to die. The Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Ha'omer of Yumi, Ha'omer of Shlokish, but Malkus Shokrisis are skinning, because we're not just talking about where the guy is Chayv Malkus for any old mitzvah. We're talking about where he's Chayv Malkus a couple of times for something which is Chayv Kores. And as we said, where it's the same thing that's Chayv Kores again and again, to Gavra Bakhtolahu. So essentially, at this person, at this point, this person is Chayv Misa, he is Chayv Kores. So therefore, so all it is then that we're saying that in this case, then Beis Din can make things happen faster. That doesn't show that where there's no Chiyuv Kores or Mrs. Beis Din or no Chiyuv Kores or Mr. B'dei Shemayim, that Beis Din should be able to cause his death, or that the young Kohenim should be able to cause his death. No such thing necessarily. All right, the Gemara says, "Well, Gonev is a Kasla." Well, what about another case in the Mishnah? A person who steals clay shoris, as we learned yesterday, kasva is one of the little things that are used to hold the lachem upon them apart so they don't get moldy. One of those little half tube sticks that they use for that purpose. Oh, we mentioned that. It means any kli shoris, but those are small and easier to steal. So goinav is a kasva, and we see that again, kanoim poigin boy. The answer is because it's not just any old kasva. Ha'omer of Yehuda, the clay shoris askinan. We're talking about he stole one of the clay shoris, urim miza, and the remez for it in the Torah that he's chayiv misa is the pasuk says at the end of Parashas Bamidbar, v'loyavoyu liras kivalas hakodesh. They should not come to see when the kodesh is being swallowed up, meaning hidden away. So like we talked yesterday, in context, the pasuk is talking about that the Levim shouldn't be there when the Kohenim are wrapping up the clay shoris to travel. They should come in only after they're wrapped up and ready to go. But we also learn from that that people should not come in to wrap up and steal the clay shoris and hide them away. Vamesu, and the pasuk finishes off that if they do, they will die. So, which is Misa B'dei Shemayim. So again, they aren't that chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. And therefore, we have a valid reason to say that Kanoim Poygen Boy. Here you have, according to the Ran, the vort would be that once we have some kind of remez in the Torah for the fact that such a person is Chayav Misa, by understanding the word Kivala to mean stealing, then the Gemara is fine with the idea that you can have that now we human beings can take matters into our hands and cause him to die now, this death that eventually he would have gotten of Kores anyway for this, or Misa B'dei Shemayim that he would have gotten for this. And in any case, we also talked about yesterday that Ramban actually counts this, stealing clay shoris, as actually one of the 613 mitzvahs against the Rambam, who holds that, no, that since the Gemara says it's only a remez, then it means it's just one of the things that are learned with the Yud Gimel Midas Shatur and Adreshus for him, or something, and it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, that Ramban disagrees with that. Okay. What about Vahama Kalal Sakosim, Bakosim, says on the side over here? What about the case of a person who curses Hashem using the name of a Kosim, which we talked about previously, means a magician or a Vodizara or whatever? So again, there he's not chayav misa for that on the face of it, and yet that was another case of tanoim poigim boy. The answer is again, Hatani Rabbi Yosef Yaakov kosim as kosmoi. We said that Rabbi Yosef taught a brisa. It means, and we're not just the Gemara had assumed that maybe makalol as a kosim means that he's cursing somebody else using a name of avodah zarah or using a name of a magician, and there's no trace of a chayav misa in there. So the answer is no, because Rabbi Yosef had explained that it means. There is an expression that he uses Hashem's name in there. He says the kosim should strike kosmoi, the one who gives him the ability to do ksamim, which is Hashem, which means the demechzik mevorach as Hashem. So therefore, that at least has the appearance of mevorach as Hashem. It does have. It's a certain semblance of cursing Hashem, even though, again, he didn't do it in the classical way that we learned earlier in the Masechta, where he uses one name of Hashem against the other. But again, So there's enough of a basis to say that he should be chayav misa for such a thing, that he should be chayav misa b'dei shemayim or koris for such a thing that now the Gemara is not bothered by the idea that now people are going to take the law into their own hands and the chanoim are going to be poigin by. Okay, so still no proof one way or the other about Rav Sheshes' din. Maybe the Kohen Sheshimesh Betoma is not Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim, like Rav Sheshes says, and yet, and therefore Kanoim Purgim, but because otherwise he's going to get away with it. But so far, the other cases of the Mishnah are all cases where any of the last couple of Mishnayas are all cases where a person is not Chayav, is in fact Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. There is some basis to say that he's Chayav Misa, and therefore that basis in with Kanoim can take matters into their own hands. Alright, the Gemara says, well, boil Aramis. What about the case of a Yid who has relations with a Goita, where again Kanoim Purgim boy? And on the face of it, he's not otherwise chayav misa for it. And the answer is, he is chayav misa. Ha'akriyuha l'Rav Kahana b'chelme. We have the story that we learned yesterday, that Rav Kahana had asked Rav what happens if there's no kanoyim to be pegeya in him, and Rav forgot what he had learned on that. And that night, Rav Kahana had a dream where he was told a posik in Malachi that's relevant to this. And then Rav remembered what he had learned, and he doushin the posik and explained over there what the punishment of such a person is, that he's chayav Chorus Medivri Kabbalah, and that there were other consequences as well. So he's Chayav Chorus, so therefore that gives a basis for the Kanoim to be Pagea boy. All right, the Gemara says, Esve. So now, fine. So we haven't yet shown that there's a case, that there's any case in the Mishnayas where he's not Chayav Misa, and yet we're Kanoim Purgim boy. But maybe the Kohen Sheshimesh Betuma is an exception to that. Maybe, in fact, like Rav Sheshes said, he's not Chayav Misa, and yet Kanoim Purgim Boy, because otherwise he's going to get away with it. So now, Esve, so now Rav Acha Bar Huna asks Rav Sheshes, I have a contradiction from the following Mishnah. Now, at the end of Masechta Zvachim, which we'll start learning Zvachim and Elul of this year, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue it during the, in the coming year, at the end of it, it talks about, we know that all the avodas that are done inside the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to do them outside the Beis Hamikdash. A person takes a korban and shechts it outside the Beis Hamikdash, for example, he's chayav kodesh, so he sprinkles the blood or does various other avodas. So a Mishnah lists there what kind of things, if he does them outside the Beis Hamikdash, he's not going to be chayav kodesh. So the Mishnah says, Hayotzik, if a person pours oil on the korban mincha, which is one of the stages of making a korban mincha. A typical korban mincha consists of flour and oil, and one of the early stages of it is you take the oil and pour it on the flour, and then you continue from there. A number of the things that we're going to list in this mission over here are various parts of bringing a korban mincha. Sayotzik v'aboilo, or he mixes the oil into the korban mincha. V'aposis, or certain korbanos mincha are baked or fried, and then afterwards you have to break them up into pieces. We'll learn about it eventually when we get to Masechta Menachos Be'ez Hashem. We'll learn about the details of that. Hamileach, or he salts the korban. He salts the korban mincha or any other korban. Hamenif, if he waves it, because a certain korbanos mincha has to be waved. Hamagish, he touches it to the corner of the Mizbeach, which is when you bring a Korban Mincha after the Mincha is mixed together and everything has been prepared, you bring the Keli that contains the Mincha to the Mizbeach, you touch it to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and then the Kohen does Kmitza. So he does any of those things. Now the kmitza itself we're going to mention afterwards. But meanwhile, Hamasader as a shulchan. Another case, a person arranges the lacham upon him on the shulchan. Hamekev as a neiris, or he prepares and he prepares the lamps of the menorah. Vahakoymetz, or he does kmitza of the mincha. Vamakabel domim, or where he receives the blood, so not he shechts the korban, but he shechts it inside the azara, let's say, but then he goes and receives the blood outside the azara. Vachutz, if he does any of these things outside of his mikdash, potter, then he's potter from kores. The in chayovana, so he's potter from kores because Rashi explains that we learn from Psukim, he's chayav kodesh for shechita and halal. He's chayav for shechting the korban and for offering it on a mizbeach. And then in addition, you have Psukim over there that imply, which we learn from the words dam shafach, that also if he sprinkles the blood. So all of these other ones, now we learn from that, the Gemara explains in Zvachim, and actually brings that all of the things that he'd be chayav kares for are all things that are gmar avoida, or they're all things where that's the last stage in the avoida. For example, the sprinkling of the blood, at that point, in a certain sense, the avoida of the korban is complete. Yes, you bring the emurim on the mizbeach afterwards, but that's not ma'akev, even if you didn't bring the emurim on the mizbeach. They became tomei, or they became lost, or whatever it is, the korban is still kosher, because the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach. Whereas all the things we're mentioning over here, pouring the oil on the mincha, or mixing it, or breaking it up, etc., all these things, there's an avoda after them, the avoda of the korban is not complete yet. Tosfos discusses there are a couple of other things that are missing over here. We don't have malika over here. The reason is because malika we learn from a different pasuk. Since the pasuk says, actually yishchat, that he shechts, that implies, but not that he does malika. So then you have Tosfos points out also halacha is missing. You have where the kohen has to walk with the basin of blood over to the mizbeach. That we're not mentioning over here because the Gemara mentions in Zvachim, conceivably you could shecht next to the basin mikdash and sprinkle right there without needing to walk it over. And in fact, we're going to learn in Zvachim when we get to it, Bez Hashem, that Reb Shimon in fact holds that halacha is not even possible if a zor does it for that reason. So then Tosfos points out that on the face of it, maybe you should also be mentioning putting oil on a wick into the menorah. Hetivus aneiris that we mentioned in the Mishnah over here was cleaning them out. So why doesn't it mention putting in a new oil and wick? And he's also potter. So all these things that a person does them outside the Beis Mikdash, he's also to do them, but if he does, he's not chayav kares. And the Mishnah continues, the ein chayavin alehen lo mishum zorus. Furthermore, all of this list of things that we said in the Mishnah, if a zor does one of them in the Beis Mikdash, then he's not chayav misa for that. Now, what you have is, we know as Vazor HaKorev Yumas, as the Pasuk says, over and over in Chumash Devarim, that if a Zor comes close and does the Avoida, then he's Chayav Misa. However, Rashi explains, based on a Gemara and Yuma, that the only kinds of things for which a Zor would be Chayav is only Avoida Tama, only an Avoida that itself is a complete avoida in itself, meaning that there's not another avoida after it. All the other things that we said over here, there's something after them. He prepares the mincha, for example. The kmitza of the mincha has yet to be done. He shechts the korban anyway, as though he was actually allowed to shecht the korban to begin with. But he puts the lacham upon him on the shulchan. That's not the last avoida that has to be done with the lacham upon him. The last thing is you take the spoonfuls of ketores on there and burn them on the mizbeach. And the same thing with each of the other ones. After meitiv asaneris, they yet have to be lit. After doing kabbalah of the blood, there has to still be sprinkling. So each of those is not called avoida tama. It's called avoida shiyesh achare avoida. You have the expression, by the way, you have the expression in Tanya and in other places in Hasidus, avoida tama, in the sense of our avoida to Hashem being a perfect avoida. That's borrowed from this context in halacha, where avoida tama means an avoida that in itself is complete, and there's nothing else that has to be done after it with this particular korban. Anyway, so because of that, a Zor does any of these things that we listed in the Mishnah inside the Beis Mikdash, he'd be potter from Koris. The loy mishum tuma, by the same token, if the Kohen is tomei when he does any of these things, then he's also not chayev nisa for it. Because the same thing, if a Zor is not chayev for it, then a Kohen who's tomei is not chayev for it. Basically, Rashi explains in some detail over here that we learn it from the same pasuk. So what applies to one applies to the other. Tosfos actually brings up the point that, wait a minute, if he did the avoda when he's tomei, means he went into the Beis Mikdash when he's tomei, and anyway, he's chayev koris for that. So what does the Mishnah mean? That he's not chayev koris because of doing the avoda b'tumah? He should be chayev koris for going into the Beis Mikdash tomei. So Tosfos explains that you could be talking about that he became tomei inside the Beis Mikdash, and he went out as fast as possible. We're going to learn in Masechta Shavuos in a few months, Beis Hashem, actually closer than that. It's going to be shortly after Pesach. We're going to start learning Masechta Shavuos. We're going to talk about the case where a person became tomei in the Beis Mikdash. The din is he has to leave the Beis Mikdash by the fastest possible, by the shortest possible route. But it is conceivable that meanwhile, as he's walking out by that shortest route, he could conceivably do an avoda as he's walking. So then he's not chayev koris for that because he went out by the fastest possible route, but nevertheless he still did an avoda. So we're saying over here that he wouldn't be chayev koris for that. So the Mishnah continues. V'loy mishum chusav godim. If the Kohen did any of these avodas that we listed in this Mishnah without the proper number of clothes, 4 for a Kohen hedyot, 8 for a Kohen gadol, then he wouldn't be chayv misa for it. V'loy mishum rechutz yodayim raglayim, and also not if he failed to wash his hands and feet from the kiyor. In this week's parasha, you have the expression in the pasuk "Varochtu yadeim ragleim v'lo yamusu." They have to wash their hands and feet so that they don't die. Meaning that if they do the avoda without washing their hands and feet, then they're chayev misa. But all of these avodas, again, because they're not avoda tama, because they're all avoda sheyesh achrei avoda, then therefore he's potter from misa for that. So here Tosfos goes on to discuss why shouldn't they be chayev misa just for the fact that they went in and did, and then they went in without a purpose, and that itself would make them chayev misa, and Tosfos discusses that point a little bit. In any case, so thus far the Mishnah. Now, says Rav Acha bar Huna to Rav Sheshes, where he wanted to use this Mishnah to ask on him. Again, Rav Sheshes had said that a person serves in the Beis Mikdash, a Kohen serves in the Beis Mikdash when he's Tomei, he's not Chayiv Misa for it, just that the Kohenim can kill him for it. So we had a long list of avoda. Ha Mekater. Now, implying though, if you were to take the koimets of the Mizbeach and burn it on the Mizbeach, for example, Chayiv, then it sounds like the Mishnah would say he's Chayiv Misa. My Lav, as it sounds like he's Chayiv. What would he be Chayiv? My Lav Misa. Wouldn't we say that he's Chayiv Misa? Because that's an avoda tama. There's nothing else that has to be done with the mincha afterwards. So you say, if you say he's chayev, what else is he going to be chayev? Is he going to be chayev if not misa? So how can you, Rav Sheshes, say that if the Kohen served in the Beis Mikdash when he's tomei and did an avoda tama, he's not chayev misa? It seems from this Mishnah. Only if he did an avoda that's not tama, then he's not chayev misa. But if it was if he burnt the koimetz on the mizbeach, he's chayev misa for it. So the answer is loy. No, Rav Sheshes' answer doesn't necessarily mean he's chayev misa. But azhara just means that there's a warning, meaning that he's over on a lav if he burns the koimetz on the mizbeach when he's tomei. So the Gemara says that el zor. So what are you going to say about a zor? Nami lazhara. You're going to say it means only that he's over on a lav and there's no misa. V'oksiv azora korev yumas. Doesn't the pasuk say a zor comes close and does the avoda? Then he's chayev misa. So if the Zor is Chayiv Misa, for example, for burning the koimets on the Mizbeach, shouldn't a Kohen who's Tomei also be? The Mishnah is mentioning them together. And the answer is no. Hokidisa. No, each one has its rules as it is. The Zor does certain avodas, he's Chayiv Misa, and the Kohen who's Tomei does certain avodas, he's not Chayiv Misa, he's only over on a lav. All right, the Gemara says, McLeod, the Yotzik, or Boilo, not Lav Nami Loi. So then what would be the implication? You'd be saying, by a Zor, if he actually burns the Komet, then he's Chayav Misa. If he would pour oil on the Mincha, or mix it, then he wouldn't be Chayav Misa for it. So then, if you're going to tell me what the Kohen, with the maximum penalty for him doing the Tumah, is even for an Avodah Tama, is Misa, then if the Mishnah is saying that there's a distinction between that and the other ones, the pouring of the oil and the mixing of the Mincha, that would imply that those, there's no lav at all. Because that would be the flow of the Mishnah, according to Rav Sheshes. That when it comes to Yotzik and Boilo and the whole long list of things that said he'd be potter, meaning according to Rav Sheshes, he'd be potter completely, he's not even over on a lav. Then, if he was, on the other hand, the implication is, but if he did an Avodah Tama, such as bruning the claimants on the Mizbeach, then he'd be chayev, meaning he'd be chayev a lav, he'd be chayev malchus. The problem with that is, V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa, as Hora L'yotzik U'boilo Minayin, where is there a warning in the Torah, where is there a lav for a Koyen who's Tomei pouring oil on the Mincha or mixing it? Tamad Loimah, therefore the Pasuk says, K'doshim Yiyu, the Pasuk says they should be holy to Hashem, V'lo Yechalalu, and they should not desecrate the name of Hashem. So meaning, in other words, that they shouldn't desecrate the Korbanos by doing anything with them when they're Tomei. So you see that there is a lab. So therefore, according to Rav Sheshes, his logic, then what would be the flow of the Mishnah? The Yotzik and the Boilol and that whole long list of avodas would be over on a lab. And when he's Tomei, he's Tomei, and bruning the Chomets on the Mizbeach would also be a lab. Then what's the distinction that the Mishnah is making? And Rashi points out that since we already have, and there's a different pasuk that says that when you're talking about an avodah tama, that he's also to do it. So therefore, necessarily, this pasuk v'lo yichalalu must be talking about things that are not an avodah tama, but nevertheless, they're still part of the avodah. So my answer is no. Midrabanan across nachta ba'alma. Fine, you could still say that it means that all these things is also drabanan for him to do, but it's only an asnachta. It's not actually midaraisa that he should be also to do it, and that he should chayiv misa for it. So still no proof. However, the Gemara says maybe. However, I have a contradiction, because the Braisa says the Eruhen Shemamisa, the following people are Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim, and it gives a list, which now the Gemara is next going to go analyze this Braisa in detail, but one of the ones on the list is Tomei Sheshimish, a Kohen who's Tomei who does the Avodah. So that clearly shows that such a Kohen is in fact Chayim Misa. So the Gemara says, you're right, Kiyuvta. Okay, well that's it, then we have a contradiction on Oshashis, and the result is therefore that in fact a Kohen who does the Avodah when he's Tomei is in fact Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. So not like Rav Sheshes, who says that he wouldn't. In fact, he is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, and therefore, because of that, therefore the Kohenim have the right to not wait until he gets Misa B'dei Shemayim, but rather to take matters into their own hands and beat him up and kill him, as we said in the Mishnah. So now let's get into that braisa and talk about the various cases where a person is chayav misa b'nei shemayim. So the Gemara says gufa. So getting back to what we said before, let's quote this braisa in full. The elu shebemisa, the following people are chayav misa b'nei shemayim. Now this list that the Mishnah, that the braisa is going to give, is not the end of the list. There are, in fact, we often have, the Gemara points out, ton of a shire, we often have that a tana will leave out things, and here, Mephoshim point out that it's so. The braisa is going to give us a list, but nevertheless, there are many other cases of a person who's chayav misa b'nei shemayim that are not on this list. So, ha'oichel satevel. The first one is a person eats tevel where truma and maaser have not been taken out from it. V'koyim tomei she'ochol truma tahora. The second one is a koyim who's tomei who eats truma that's tahor. Now, Tosfos deals with the question later on that that if he's Tomei, as soon as he touches the Truma, he's going to make it Tomei. So there's a what's a case where he eats Truma that's Tahor. And there's a couple of answers, one of them being that you could have somebody sticks it down his throat. Somebody puts it on a long stick, for example, and sticks it down his throat. So he never touched it with the outside of his body, therefore he wasn't the Tomei. But nevertheless, he himself is Tomei. Another possibility is where the Truma was never Mukhshar, the Kabbal Truma. It never became wet with one of the Shiva Mashkin, so therefore it remains Tahor even as he handles it, but nevertheless he is Tomei. Okay, the Zor Sha'ochas HaTruma. The next one is a Zor who eats Truma. The Zor Sheshimish, a Zor does the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, certain specific Avoidas, like we said before, we had a long list of Avoidas for which a Zor wouldn't be Chayav Misa, but we said that any Avoida Tama, any Avoida which is the last one, is something that he'd be Chayav Misa for. The Kohen, the Tomei Sheshimish, also a Kohen who's Tomei who served in the Beis HaMikdash. This is what we just said. We slogged up Rav Sheshes with this. We see that he is Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. Utvul Yoim, also a Kohen who's Tvul Yoim. He toiveled from his Tumah, but he hasn't yet had Herev Shemesh. Tosfos on Amud Beis has a long discussion over the point that on the face of it he's still Tomei to a certain extent, so why do we need him listed separately? Then he's still Tomei to a certain extent, and therefore automatically he should be included in the Koyin Tomei. And then Tosfos discusses in some detail over here, because there are after all other psukim that imply that he's Tahor. So he is to a certain extent Tahor after all. The very beginning of Brachas it talks about, when you have over there, when it says that when can you say Kriyashma, Mishar Shah Koinim Chnosin Lechol Bisrumasan, from when Koinim are able to go and eat their Truma, and the Gemara explains over there that because, since the Pasuk says Ruvah HaShemesh V'Tahor, the Pasuk says when the sun goes down, then he's Tahor. It doesn't mean he becomes Tahor as soon as the sun sets. It means that Tahor Yoima, that means the day is completely, the sky is completely cleansed of light, and only then he becomes fully Tahor and he can eat Truma. But on the other hand, we could eat, so therefore that implies that until the head of Shemesh, he still has a degree of Tumah. On the other hand, Tosfos points out that we could have understood the word B'Tahor, as the Gemara mentions, the possibility over there. It means that as soon as the sun sets, he's completely Tahor, and therefore, so you could learn that way, so you wouldn't know that he still has a degree of Tumah, and therefore we have to list Tvul Yoim separately. So in any case, he serves in the Beis HaMikdash after he toiveled, but before head of Shemesh, then also he's Chayiv Misa. Also, if he's lacking the number of clothing that he has to wear, again, the Kohen Hedyot, as we have from last week's parasha, has to wear 4 begodim, a Kohen Gadol 8, and if he wears any less than that, then he's Chayiv Misa. Also a Kohen who was Tomei and has even had head of Shemesh, but has not yet brought his korban. You have a Zov, a Zov and a Metzora. So they still have a stage of their tithe. They go through multiple stages to become completely Tahor, and the last stage is they have to bring korbanos. So now, a Kohen did the avodah before he brought those korbanos, and he's Chayav Misa. V'shaloi rochas yadayim v'raglayim, also where he didn't wash his hands and feet from the kiyor, and he does the avodah. So here's where Tosfos points out, by the way, as we talked about before, that if he goes into the Heichel without washing his hands and feet, then never mind the fact that whether he did Avodah or not, just the fact that he went in without washing his hands and feet itself should make him Chayav Misa. And then Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. Even though the Pasuk says Bevoyom al Oyom Loyed, etc., maybe it only means when they go in to do the Avodah. The next one on the list is Shuya Yayin, a Kohen who's drunk, who drank at least a revius of wine or other intoxicating drinks and does the Avoida, is Chayav Misa. Or Prue Rosh, and the last one is Kohenim, who did not cut their hair within the last 30 days, they do the Avoida, then they're Chayav Misa B'nei Shemayim. So again, this is not an exhaustive list, and Mefoshim point out there are a number of other examples. Later in the next parak, we're going to learn a couple of examples involving Nevi'im, for example, where the Chayav Misa B'nei Shemayim. For example, a Navi who holds back his Nevuah and doesn't tell it, or a person who disobeys a Navi. You have a couple of examples over there. And then you have the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva brings even more cases where the Torah says a person is chayav misa b'dei shemayim, person who mistreats an almana, for example. So the list in our brisa is not meant to be exhaustive. As Gemara often says, Tana b'shayir, the Tana mentioned things and he left out other things that he didn't list. Okay, so now the brisa continues. Avol, oral, but if a kohen does the avoda when he's an oral, now throughout Shas you have two different types of oral. You can have a person who's an oral because he refuses to have a bris milah, so he can't do the avoda because, well, neither one can do the avoda, but that's not the category we're talking about over here. Such a person is called mumur l'dover echad. He's decided that a certain mitzvah doesn't apply to him. It means to, as far as that mitzvah is concerned, in a certain sense he's ois yid. He's not considered a full yid as far as that mitzvah. Here we're talking about he's an oral, not because it's his own fault, but because his brothers, he had elder brothers who died after their bris milah, and the din is therefore we can't give him a bris milah until we know he'll be able to survive it. That hemophilia in the family or whatever disease it is, that therefore we can't have a bris. Nevertheless, he still can't do the avoda. So an oral does the avoda, v'oinen, or he's an oinen, his relative, one of his close relatives, just passed away and hasn't been buried yet. V'yoshev, or if he does the avoda when he's sitting, he's supposed to be standing. So those three, einen b'misa, those three, he's not chayiv misa, b'dei shemayim, el ba'az hara, those, there's only a lav against doing. What about another case, Balmum? What about if a Balmum does the avoda in the mismetosh? Rebbe Omer b'misa. Rebbe says, "Abichai misa b'nei shemayim." V'chum em v'azhara. V'chum says it's only a warning. It's only a lav. Similarly, hizid b'me'ila, if a person deliberately did me'ila, he took something of the besnechdash and used it deliberately, and then was something of hektish and used it for his own purposes, knowing that it belongs to hektish. Rebbe Omer b'misa, v'chum v'azhara. Again, Rebbe says he's going to be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim for that, and the chum says there's only an azhara, there's only a lav, and therefore only malchus for that. So, let's go through this braisa now and show with each one of these things where we see that he is or isn't chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, as the case may be. So the first one, ha'oichal ha'tevel menolam. Where do we see that a person eats tevel that is chayiv misa b'dei shemayim? So the da'am ha'shmur, mishum rabbi liyazer, minayin la'oichal. I mean, whenever it says Mishum, by the way, as we've learned before, it means it's not direct. It's you didn't learn it directly from him. Shmuel was born long after Rabbi Eliezer had passed away. So he's saying that there's a chain, there would be a chain, which the Gemara is not quoting over here, which eventually traces back to Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, minayin la'uchal as a tevel shobu misa. How do we know a person eats tevel that is chayiv misa b'nei shemayim? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'lo yichalalu es kodshei b'nei Yisrael, they should not desecrate the holy things of the Jewish people, Eisa Sheh Yorimu LaHashem, this that they're going to lift up to Hashem. So what we mean is, why the expression Asher Yorimu, that they will lift up, Vasidim Litzrim HaKosim Adaba. The Pasuk is talking about things that are going to be lifted up, meaning here it's Tevel, and they haven't yet lifted up and taken out the Truma, or designated the Truma out of it. So therefore, Lo Yichalalu, they're not allowed to eat it, meaning that you can't eat it at that point. And the yalef chilul mitruma, and we learn by Xeder Shava of the word chilul from what it says about truma. By truma, it also says meisu b'ki chalalu malahalim b'misa afkan b'misa. Just like where it talks about a koyan who's tomei who eats truma, that was another one in the brayse that we said is chay misa b'de shemayim, and there the pasuk says they should not eat it when they're tomei or meisu voy, they would die because of it ki chalaluhu, because they desecrate it. So therefore, we have Xeder Shava malahalim b'misa afkan b'misa. Just like a Koyan Tomei who eats Truma Tehora is Chayav Koris, so is a person, not Koris, Misa B'dei Shemayim, so is a person who eats Tevel is also Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. So Gemara says, why are we learning from there? The Nelef Chilu Chilu Mi Noiser, why don't we instead learn by Noiser, also the Pasuk says, Ki Es Kodesh Hashem Chilu, and say, Malahalan Bekores Afkan Bekores, and then you would say that just like a person eats Noiser leftovers from a korban beyond the time, is Chayav Kores, maybe then Zveda Shava would tell us that a person eats Tevel is also Chayav Kores, and not Misas Beistin, and not Misa B'dei Shemayim, rather. And the answer is mistaber truma havalei lemelach. It's more logical mistamer mitruma havalei lemelach. It's more logical that we're going to learn from truma shekain, because you have a number of similarities between tevel and a between tevel and a koyin tummy who eats truma that you don't have with noisin. First of all, truma, both of them involve truma, because one is where the truma is tame, where the person is tame and eats truma, and the other one, the whole point of tevel is that truma hasn't been taken out of it yet. Also, chutzal aretz, both of them apply only in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to noiser in principle. In principle, noiser applies anywhere in the world. Now, what does that mean? A korban can be eaten only in the Bis Mikdash or only in Yerushalayim, as the case may be. But Rashi explains that. What you have is noiser, in other words, in the time, for example, in when they were in the Midbar, then they still have the concept of noiser. They weren't in Eretz Yisrael yet, and the concept of noiser still applied. So we see that noiser is not limited in principle to Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to truma. They weren't taking truma when they were in the desert, only after they entered Eretz Yisrael and conquered and divided it. So that's another similarity between Tevel, with the whole concept of Tevel, that only applies when they come into Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Noisu existed in Chutz Laaretz as well. Another point, Hutra, both of them, there is a heter for it, because in the case of Tevel, you have to take out the Truma and Maisa from it. In the case of the person who's Tomei, he toivels and has a head of Shemesh, and then he can eat Truma. As opposed to Noisu, once it becomes also as Noisu, then there's no heter for it. Another point, Barabim. Another point is that both of them, it says the word chilul is in plural, yechaleluhu and yechalelu, as opposed to by noiser the expression is chilel, which is in the singular. Another point, peiros, truma and tevel both apply to produce, noiser applies to the meat of a korban. Another point, pigul, that you have the concept of pigul with a korban, but whereas by truma and tevel you have no such thing. Pigul we'll learn about extensively in Masechet Zvachim when we get to it. As the Shem, it means where the person doing one of the four basic avodas of the korban had a thought called chutz l'zmanoi, where he intends to sprinkle the blood or eat the meat or burn the things on the mizbeach outside of the time that it's supposed to. So then it's pigul, and the person eats it as chayiv koris, as opposed to. And pigul applies to korbanos. It doesn't apply to truma. It doesn't apply to tevel. And the last one, the noiser, and the whole point of noiser applies only to kodshim. It doesn't apply to truma or to tevel. So we have seven similarities between truma and tevel that are different. Each one of them is different than noiser. So the Gemara asks, "Adir Abim Noiser Havalei Lameila." So on the other hand, maybe we should learn from noiser and say that he's chayiv koris. Shekain, because we have similarities also between Tevel and Noiser. Psul Oichil, in both cases, the psul is regarding the food. In the case of Tevel, that truma hasn't been taken out of it yet. In the case of Noiser, that was left over beyond the time, as opposed to a Tomei who eats truma. There's nothing wrong with the truma itself. There's something wrong with the Koyan. He's Tomei. Ein loy heter b'mikveh, and also there's no heter for either one of them with the mikveh. When it comes to truma again, all he has to do is toivol, and then he needs head of shemesh as well, and then he'll be able to eat. Whereas tevel and noiser, you can't fix up things by doing anything with a mikveh. So therefore, so you have two similarities between tevel and noiser. So maybe we should learn from a gzeira shava that a person eats tevel as chayiv koris. And the answer is Hanach Nefishon. The answer is still, you have seven similarities between Truma and Tevel, and only two between Noiser and Tevel. So seven is more than two, so therefore it's more logical that we're going to learn the Gzeirah Shavah that way. Ravina gives a different answer. You don't need seven verses two. Chilul derabim, mechilul derabim odif. Out of all those things, we said that the fact that it says yechaleluhu by one and yechalelu by the other, which both of them are plural, that beats the fact that by noiser it says chilul in the singular. And therefore, in general, Gzeira Shava is supposed to be, the words are supposed to be as similar as possible. So therefore, Ravina says here, where you have a greater similarity between the words by Truma and Tevel, where both of them are in plural, then that beats the fact that, then that alone is enough to override the point of not learning from Noiser, whereby Noiser you have the word Chilul in the singular. And therefore we're not going to learn from Noiser, therefore we're going to learn from Truma, and therefore there's only Misvedeshamayim, there's no Kares. So, okay. Tosfos points out over here that actually the Valoya Chalalu by Tevel in fact has a certain relationship to Noiser as well, but basically it is referring to Tevel. We just, there's a particular din in Noiser that we learn from it. So that covers how we know that a person who eats Tevel is Chayav Nisa B'Dishamayim. In short, we're learning it from a Gzeira Shava regarding Truma. All right, the next one in the Braise, if a Kohen Tomei she'ochal Truma Tohurda Menolam, we said that a Kohen who's Tomei and eats Truma that's Tohur is Chayav Nisa B'Dishamayim. How do we know that? So the answer is the Amar Shmuel Minayin LaKoyin Tomei She'ochal Truma Tahora Shehu B'Misa B'Nishamayim. How do we know that point? Dichtiv, the pasuk says the Shomrus Mishmauti, that the Koyim should guard my thing that's supposed to be guarded, namely my Truma. V'lo Yisu all of Chet V'Gomer. They should not bear a sin when because of it. And the pasuk continues U'Meisu V'Ki Chaluluhu, that they would die because of it, which was Misa B'Nishamayim, if they mechalal it. So we see therefore the chayav misa b'deshamayim for eating it when they're tummy. Now what we're saying is if the kohen himself is tummy, then he's only chayav misa b'deshamayim if the truma that he ate was tahor, but not if the truma itself was tummy. By the way, since we're talking about that a Kohen Tomei eats Truma Tahora, it's Chayav Misa B'Deshamayim, but if he were to eat Truma Tmeya, he would not be Chayav Misa B'Deshamayim for that. Why is that? Because based on another statement that Shmuel says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. It's interesting, before we had Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, here we have Shmuel Omer Rabbi Eliezer. Which again would sound like it means that he's saying directly. There's a different gears on the side of it here that says Rabbi Lazar, but that doesn't really help much either. Rabbi Lazar ben Shamor also passed away long before Shmuel was born, and Rabbi Lazar the Amora was himself a Talmud of Shmuel, and Shmuel is not going to be saying his name. Anyway, so Shmuel says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, how do we know that if a Kohen Tomei ate Truma that is also Tomei, that is not Chayav Misa for it? He is over on a lav, and he's going to get Malkus for it, but he's not Chayav Misa. Shenema, because the pasuk says, they will die because of it, because they desecrate it. Therefore, prat lazushim uchulalas vaymenes. So therefore, as opposed to this case where the Truma is already desecrated, it's already Tomei, so he's not Chayav Misa. So he's not chayav misa b'deshamayim for eating it. And here's where Tosfos points out how would he physically do that? Is, for example, somebody sticks it down his throat, or it's not mukshu l'kabal truma yet. So if he himself is tamei and the truma is also tamei, then he's not chayav misa b'deshamayim for it because anyway it's already mechulol, and therefore, and the pasuk is saying that only if he's mechalal it then he's chayav misa. So the next one in the list was v'zor she'ochas a truma. We said a zor ate truma, then he's chayav misa b'deshamayim. So where do we see that from? So there's machlokes on that. Omer Rav, zor she'ochas a truma loike. If a zor eats truma, then he's going to get malchus for it. Why don't we say that he's chayav misa for that misa b'deshamayim? Now it is true that any case of Misa B'Dei Shemayim, if he gets Malkus, he's potter from Misa. However, what Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are bothered by is why you're saying Loike as if the maximum penalty he could get is Malkus, whereas according to the Braisa that we just quoted, then he should be getting Misa B'Dei Shemayim. And then if instead Basin gives him Malkus, then fine, he's potter from Misa B'Dei Shemayim. So why don't we say that he's chayav Misa B'Dei Shemayim, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, and the pasuk says, "V'chol zor lo yoichal kodesh." Remember, the pasuk says that a zor should not eat kodesh, and kodesh over there means truma. And since the pasuk says previously that if anybody eat, that people who eat truma when they're not supposed to the next pasuk, the pasuk says, so you have one, so like this, you have a pasuk that says that if they eat truma when they're not supposed to, umesu voy, then they're going to die because of it, ki chaluluhu, because they desecrated. That's what we just learned, that that's where we learned that a kohen who's tomei, who eats truma tahora, is chay misi b'dei shemayim. And then the next pasuk continues, v'chol zor lo yechol kodesh, any zor should not eat kodesh. So why don't we say, therefore, that we have a hekesh between the two things, and therefore that means that a zor who eats truma is also chay misi. The answer is Ani Hashem Mekadshem Hifsik Inyan. Yes, but the first pasuk that says Umesu Voiki Yichaluluhu continues. It says the next words in it are Ani Hashem Mekadshem. I Hashem am making them holy. So therefore, that makes that creates a break between Umesu Voi and B'chol Zer. So therefore, we don't have the hekesh that you're talking about. So the Gemara says, Mesri, I have a contradiction. We just learned in the Braisa before, but Abraham Shem and Misa, Zor Ha'ichol Satruma. So how can Rav say differently? So the Gemara answers back, Masnisa Adrav Karomis. Are you trying to bring up a contradiction from a Braisa to Rav? Rav, Tana Hu Polig. Rav is a Tana. And he's able to argue with Brises. So he's like a semi-Tana. We have in various places because Rav was actually in the transitional generation. He was one of the senior Talmidim of Rebbe. We learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, that he sat on Rebbe's Beis Din. And therefore, so he and the various members of his generation are all considered kind of honorary Tanoim, and therefore they have the ability to argue on Brises. We don't find that they have the ability to argue on Mishnayis, but Brises, many of the Brises were collected and put together in their form, in the form that we have them, in Rav's times, and therefore he has the ability to argue on them. So it's a machlokas on that. The Braisa says that he's chayiv misa v'dei shemayim. Rav says that he's chayiv only malchus. The next one is zor shishimish. Zor does the avoida in the mishnah. It's chayiv misa. Dichtiv azor akorev yomas. Because the pasuk says flat out, a zor comes close and does the avoida, then he's going to be put to death, which is misa v'dei shemayim. The Tomei Shishimish, we said a Koyan who does the Avodah when he's Tomei, so we know that. Where do we know that? He's Chayiv Misa B'Dishmaim. He debominated Rav Chiya Ba'Oven mit Rav Yosef. As we find that Rav Chiya Ba'Oven asks Rav Yosef, what is the source for that din? Minayim L'Tomei Shishimish Shuvim Misa. How do we know a Koyan who's Tomei does the Avodah that he's Chayiv Misa? And the answer is Zichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Dabar al Aaron vel Bonav, speak to Aaron and his sons, the Yinozru, and they should separate themselves. The Yinozru is from the same Shodosh as Nozir, and Nozir is separated from certain things that everybody else does. So the same way that the Yinozru means they should separate themselves, they should stay away, Mikodshe B'nei Israel, from the holy things of the Jewish people, meaning they should not be doing the Avoda involving the Kodshim of the Jewish people, V'lo Yechalalu Hashem Kodshi, that they should not desecrate my holy name. And then, so we have... So from there, we see that they're not allowed to do the avodah when they're tamei. V'yalef chilul chilul with truma, and we do a gzeira shava on the word from truma, like we said before, on Amud Aleph about tevel. That therefore, just like by truma, malahala memisa afkan memisa. The same way as a kohen who's tamei eats truma is chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. The same way the kohen who's tamei does the avodah is chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Therefore, there's misa b'dei shemayim by both of them. The Ran actually asked the question that anyway we said that the pasuk talks about a kohen who's tomei and does the avoda, and when it also talks about a zor in the same connection. So we just said that a zor is chayiv misa. So why do we need a zeda shava from truma when instead we could learn it from a hekesh with a zor? And the answer is because when it comes to Kodshim, we have a special rule that says that we're going to learn about it in Zvachim, that when you have something that you learn with one of the Yud Gimel Midas, Shatur and Adreshus to him, when it comes to Kodshim, you can't then learn from that second thing, a third thing, using that or different Midah. The Gemara is going to go extensively through it in Zvachim about the various permutations of that. So therefore, if we were to say that we're learning from a Hekish to from one thing to another, we wouldn't be able to learn from it with a Gzeira Shava to another din that we're going to need for later. But if we have a Gzeira Shava, then fine, to do one Gzeira Shava and then another Gzeira Shava, that we can do. So therefore, we say we need a Gzeira Shava. So again, the question is, if we have a Gzeira Shava, then why are we learning from Truma, which is Misa B'Dei Shemayim, V'Neila Chilu Chilu Minoiser, again, learn the Gzeira Shava from Noiser, and therefore say that a Kohen who's Tomei is Chayiv Kores, Malahalan Kores, Afkan Kores, and the answer is they're going to go through the same kind of thing, as we said before, where we have to consider how many similarities between them there are. Mistabra, Truma, Mistama, Mitruma, Havale Lamelech, it's more logical to learn from Truma, Shekain, because you have a number of similarities between a Kohen who's Tomei who eats Truma and a Kohen who's Tomei who does the Avoida. Guf, both of them, the psul is in the guf, as opposed to Noiser, the psul is not in the guf of the person, but rather in the meat of the korban. Tomei, in both of them, the issue is Tumah. Noiser, it's not Tumah, it's that it was left over. Mikveh, both of them can go to the mikveh, unlike Noiser. Barabim, both of them, you have the word Yechaleluhu in plural, Yechaleluhu, Yechaleluhu in plural, as opposed to by Noiser is again in singular is Chilal, like we said before. So therefore, you have four similarities between them. Well, the Gemara asks, Adar Abba Minoiser Havalei Lamelech. On the contrary, maybe we should learn the Kohen who's Tomei from Noiser. Shekein Kodesh, because there are a few similarities. Both of them are things involving Kodshim. Truma is holy, but it's not the Kodshim. Pnim, both of them apply only in the Bis Mikdash. Truma is anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Pigul, both of them are involving Korbanos, where there can be the concept of Pigul, as opposed to the concept of Pigul doesn't apply to Truma. Vinoiser, and the concept of Noiser applies to both of them. So therefore, you have four similarities, and here, of course, it's four against four. So we can't say, like we said before, Hanach Nefishan, that one group is larger than the other. So now, why are we learning from Truma when instead we could learn from Noiser and his Chayiv Kores? And the answer is, like we said before, Chilul Derabim. Chilul Derabim Adif, it's more logical to learn the Gzeirah Shava where both of them are in plural, Yechalalu and Yechalaluhu, rather than from Chilul, which is in the singular, because again, when it comes to Gzeirah Shava, as much as possible, we want to have the word be the same form, or more or less the same form. So that tells us, therefore, that a Kohen Tomei who does the Avodah is Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Next, Tevul Yoyim Sheshimesh Menolon. How do we know that if a Tevul Yoyim does the Avodah, then it's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim? And here's where Tosfos asks that a Tevul Yoyim is also Tomei. And so Tosfos discusses in some detail that actually there is reason to say to a certain extent he is Tohar, and therefore we need a spell, he is a weaker Tumah, and therefore we wouldn't consider him to be a Tomei relative to this unless we had a Pasuk to that effect. So the answer is Tani. We learn a Braisa of Simoyim. Remez the Tvul Yoyim Shem Ovad Chilol. Where is there a remez in the Torah? And here we don't mean a remez, it's just like a hint. Here it's definitely a Dindar Raisa. That if a Tvul Yoyim does the Avoida Chilol, then he desecrated the Avoida, meaning in other words that his Avoida is possible. Minayin, how do we know that from? Talmud Loimah, the Apostle says, Kedoshim Yulei Lekehem. They, the Kohenim, should be holy to Hashem. And they should not desecrate the name of Hashem. Now, says Rav Simoi, since we don't need this pasuk to teach us about where he's Tomei and does the Avoda, the Nafkalon, because we already learned from the pasuk that it says Yinozu that they should stay away from the Kodshim as long as they're Tomei, so we don't also need Velo Yechalalu for that. Then instead we use it for the Tevul Yoyim. So we see from that that the Tevul Yoyim, if he does the Avoda, is Mechalalit, causes that the Avoda is possible. And then, once we know that, so then, the Yalef Chilul Chilul Mitzruma, now we do a Gzeirah Shava from it to Truma, Malahalan B'Misaf, Kan B'Misa, just like by Truma, he's Chayim Misa B'Dei Shemayim, so also if he's a Tevul Yoyim and does the Avoda, he's Chayim Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Here the Gemara doesn't even ask that maybe he should be Chayiv Kodesh, because once we said if he's Tomei, then he's Chayiv only Misa Shemayim, we're certainly not going to say that a Tevul Yoyim that has a weaker kind of Truma should be Chayiv Kodesh, so therefore necessarily we can learn from Truma that he's Chayiv Misa Shemayim. So, okay, Tosfos points out that in that case, then maybe if it's Tvur Yom, it's Truma, he should be Chayim Misa, but he also needs Head of Shemesh. But Tosfos says maybe Takazoi didn't list it in the Braisa, but maybe indeed so. On the other hand, Tosfos brings then maybe a discussion of why not. Maybe we'd say that if it's Tvur Yom, it's Truma, maybe he's not Chayim Misa B'nei Shemayim. Okay, next. The next one was a Kohen who's lacking the proper number of begodim and does the avodim and nolan, where we know that he's chayv misa b'nei shemayim. Omer Rav Abahu, Omer Rav Yechanan. So Rav Abahu says in the name of Rav Yechanan, umotu ba mishmeid Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon. Some say in the name of Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon that like this. So the pasuk says about the bigli kohana last week's parasha, v'chagarta osim avnet. The pasuk says that describes how Moshe is to dress the kohenim in the bigli kohana. And it says the last one for the Kohen Hedya is that you put the belt on them. And then the pasuk says, V'hoysa lehem kohuna, that it becomes their kohuna, from which we learn, Bizman shebegdeim aleim, kohunasim aleim. Only when their begodim are on them, is their kohuna on them. Then they're considered kohenim. Ein begdeim aleim, but if they're not wearing their begodim, ein kohunasim aleim, then their kohuna is not on them. Well then, havaluhu zorim. So there's a havaluhu zorim. So in effect, therefore, if they're not wearing the proper number of begadim, then they're considered zorim. V'omamar zor sheshimish b'misa. And as we said before, zor does the avodah, then he's chayiv misa. So if they're not wearing the proper number of begadim, then in effect, they're considered a zor based on this pasuk, and therefore they're chayiv misa. Tosfos points out that why do you need that? The pasuk clearly says that if they're not wearing the begodim, then they're chayiv misa. So the answer is Tosfos says that pasuk is talking about specifically the michnasayim. It says if they don't wear the michnasayim, then the pasuk says that they're chayiv misa. V'lo yisu oven v'mesu. So by the michnasayim, if they're missing that, then we would say that they're chayiv misa. We wouldn't know about any of the other clothing. And on the other hand, the michnasayim is not listed in the pesukim there in connection with v'hoisalayim korona. So therefore, we need both pesukim. And then Tosfos goes on to point out that maybe you could say again that maybe the point is that by Mechnasayim, it means just the fact he goes into Oyel Moed without Mechnasayim, and for that alone, he's Chayim Misa. If he goes into the Heichel, then he's Chayim Misa, but Tosfos says no, not really, because as they discussed before, just for going into the Heichel without washing their hands and feet or without the proper number of begadim, not necessarily they're Chayim Misa for that. Okay, but in any case, if they don't have their begadim on them, then we say they're to that extent, They're not considered Kohenim, and therefore now if they do the Avodah, then there's Zorim, and as we learned before, Zor is Chayim Misa. Next. Umchoser kapara. What about we said a Kohen who's lacking kapara? He was a zav or a mitzora, and he's had tefillah and he's had head of shemesh, but he hasn't yet brought his korban. Menalon, how do we know that he's Chayim Misa for doing the Avodah at that point? So the answer is Amar Rav Huna, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says by a yeledes, by a woman who gave birth, the pasuk says the chiper aleha akoyin v'tahera. The koyin should bring a kapara for her, and she is tahor. Tahera mikal sheitzmeya. So therefore, so if it says tahera, implies that up until now she was considered to be to a certain degree a tmeya. V'omamar tamei sheshimish v'misa. And as we said, a koyin who does the avodah when he's tamei is chayav misa. So from that we can learn that a mechusik kiporim in the cases of a zavah or a mitzora, or in the case of a woman a zavah or a yeledes who hasn't brought their korban, is still considered tamei to some extent. Okay. Next, v'shaloi ruchutz yadayim raglayim menolon. How do we know that if he didn't wash his hands and feet and does the avodah, he's chayiv misa? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says in this week's parasha, v'voyam al oyel moed, when they come into the oyel moed, yuchatzu mayim, they should wash their hands with water and feet with water, v'lo yamusu, and they should not die. So therefore, so b'voyim al oyel moed doesn't just mean they come into the oyel moed. That's what Tosfos had discussed at some length before. Just coming into the oyel moed without washing their hands and feet would not make them chayiv misa. Only actually doing the avodah without doing that. So therefore, they're chayiv misa if they come in and do the avodah. So we see that if they didn't wash their hands and feet, the pasuk is saying v'lo yamusu, they shouldn't die. So therefore, if they did it without that, then they are chayiv misa. Ushsuya yayin, the next one was where they drank wine. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says yayin v'sheicher al teishvagemer, don't drink wine or other strong drinks before you come into the oyel moed. And the pasuk continues, "V'loy samusu," and you won't die. So again, therefore, the implication is that if they do the avoda when they're drunk, then they're chayiv misa. Next, upruei rosh. How do we know? We said if they grow their hair long. So then, dichtiv. The pasuk says in Yechezkel. So this one we're learning from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Now, of course, in Yechezkel, Yechezkel can't make up new dinim. He's a novi after Moshe Rabbeinu's times. But the point is that we can learn from him. He's writing down a din that was known before that. As the Gemara is going to point out afterwards, that sometimes we have dinim like that are part of Torah Shabbat Peh, and Yechezkel wrote them down for the first time. So the pasuk says, "Roshim lo yigalechu." They should not shave their heads, the kohenim. They shouldn't be like the galochim who shave their heads completely. Or fera lo yishalechu, but they should also not allow their hair to grow long. And then the pasuk continues, they should not drink wine. Therefore, itkash prua rosh l'shsuya yayin. Therefore, that gives us a hekesh between when their hair has grown long and when they drank wine. So we learn from that. The same way as if they drank wine, we just said, the pasuk says in Chumash that they're chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, the same way we can learn that the prua rosh is also chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Now, you do have, the Ran points out, that after Nadav and Avihu passed away, Moshe tells Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, don't allow your hair to grow long, and don't tear your clothes, v'loy samusu. So right over there, you seem to have that if they do any of those things, then they're chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. So why do we need to learn from Yechezkel? So the Ran answer is because you could say in Vayikra is that right now the Ravelim, Nadav and Avihu, have just passed away, and therefore they shouldn't do, and but it's doing the Chinuch, doing the Vayihi Vayim Hashmini. It's on the eighth day of the Miluim, and it's the inauguration of the Mishkan, and therefore they shouldn't prave any Avelus. And if they do, then they're going to be Chayiv Misa. That doesn't show that in future generations, when it's not a matter of Avelus and in fact, by them, they're not even allowed to tear their clothes or do any of those things. Shaloi b'shas avoda. How do we know that in future generations that it applies, and that it applies even when it's not because of avelos and so forth? So for that we need the pasuk to teach us that point. Marsha brings from Kesef Mishnah. I'm the Rambam that says a different point that. Something along those lines, even though other Avelim are supposed to grow their hair, but you should not. But then he brings from the Ramban that says that no, that point that anybody else has to grow their hair long is only an asmachta, because the whole point that they have to grow their hair, that an oval grows his hair long, is only the Rabbanan. So, but still, if it weren't for the pasuk of Yechezkel, you would think, again, it means only when they're Avelim, that they shouldn't prava Avelus, you wouldn't know without the pasuk from Yechezkel that it applies even when there's no Avelus. So therefore, but from the pasuk in Yechezkel, we can deduce the detail that the Torah didn't spell out, that it applies whether there's Avelus or not. Either way, they're not allowed to grow their hair long, and that they'd be missed there if they do, and therefore that they can't do that.